Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Baba Basra Daf Ayin Hey Baba Basra 75. Today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara is continuing with its discussion of different homilies, and it mentions in this context a homily which ends with the phrase, Oy la la osa busha, oy la la osa klima, woe for that great embarrassment and woe for that great shame. So since the Gemara mentions that story, which has to do with the context of people who don't reach the spiritual level of other people and they're embarrassed by their own spiritual deficiencies, the Gemara cites another teaching of the sages which also uses that phrase. And the teaching relates to the comparison between Moshe and Joshua. So says the Gemara, with respect to the verse from the book of Bamidbar, chapter 27, verse 15, it states that God told Moshe, "V'nasata mehotcha olav, v'man yishmu kol adas b'nei Yisrael." God told Moshe, "You shall put some of your glory upon Joshua, so that all of the children of Israel will listen to Joshua." So God was commanding Moshe that he's supposed to give some of his glory, which shone upon him, to Joshua. So at that point, the Talmud says, the Kenim Sheba Oso Ador Amru, that the elders of that generation taught, Pene Moshe Kepene Chama, and Pene Yoshua Kepene Lofana, that the face of Moshe is like the face of the sun, and the face of Joshua is like the face of the moon. Oila la'osa busha, oila la'osa klima. Woe for such great shame, and woe for such great embarrassment. What is the great shame and the great embarrassment? So Rashbam explains that Bizman Muat Nismait Hakavod Kolkach, then in such a short amount of time, from the time it took from Moshe's leadership to Joshua's leadership, the honor and glory of the Jewish people had diminished, and Moshe's honor had diminished to such a degree that Yeshua, who came next, and says Rashbam, he was a prophet and he was a king like Moshe, and he was not able to achieve the honor and the glory of Moshe. So that's why we say that there was such great shame and such great embarrassment. So what is the basis upshot of this teaching, that Moshe's face was like the face of the sun and Joshua's face was like the face of the moon? So there are a number of different approaches to this. Rabbeinu Bechaya explains that we know that the moon has no light of its own, but the moon only has the light that is a reflection of the sun. And so too Moshe Rabbeinu was on such a high level that on his own he had his own light, but Joshua, everything that Joshua had was just a reflection of Moshe. And that's why, since he was unable to achieve the greatness on his own, but just through a reflection of Moshe, that's why he's compared to a moon, while Moshe is compared to the sun. The Maral offers a second explanation. The Maral explains that we know from other teachings in the Talmud that Moshe was able to see God through a way that other prophets were not able to see. Moshe was able to see God through an aspaklaria mi'ira, through a clear looking glass, whereas Joshua and all the other prophets were only able to see God through aspaklaria she'ena mi'ira, with a looking glass which was not clear. And this is based upon the teaching in Yevamos 49b, which says all the prophets kol navim istaklu ba aspaklaria she'ena mi'ira, Moshe Rabbeinu istaklu ba aspaklaria mi'ira. So because Moses had a clear vision of God, that's why he is considered to be like the sun, whereas Joshua is like the moon. The Kli Yakar offers a third explanation. The Kli Yakar says that just like we know that the sun is illuminated on both ends, but the moon is dark on one side and is light on the other side, this reflects and this relates to the two aspects of coming close to God. One is through spiritual reflection, and one is through coming close to God through mastering of the physical senses that we have. So Joshua was only able to achieve this closeness to God through spiritual reflection, but not through a complete mastery over the physical senses. Only Moshe was able to do this. And the reason why we know Moshe was able to do this is because Moshe went up the mountain and was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not eat anything, and he did not drink anything, as the verse says, that he did not eat bread or drink water. And yet when he came down, the verse tells us that his face shone with illumination. And so we see from here that that's what it's saying. Moshe was illuminated on both sides, like the sun, because he had a complete understanding of how to connect to God through both the spiritual and the physical, unlike Joshua, who only understood this through the spiritual reflections. The Ben Yoyada offers another answer. The Ben Yoyada says that we know that if you look at the sun from the sky, from the earth, and you look up to the sky and see the sun doesn't look as big as it is. It maybe looks like the size of the loaf of a bread if you stick your hands out. But obviously, when you come close to the sun, it's just humongous beyond anything that we can comprehend. And so too, Joshua, the moon, it's small in our eyes, but when you come close to it, it's humongous. And so he says, that is the way we have to look at Moses and Joshua, that it's impossible for us to comprehend their greatness. But that doesn't take away from the fact that their greatness is far outshines anything we could possibly understand. Another question that the sages, the commentaries ask in this context is, why does it say that the elders of the generation asked that question? Why is that distinguished from the fact that the youth could have also seen Joshua and Moses and seen a distinction between them? So there are a number of answers to this question. And one of the answers is that the Vilna Gaon said the children hadn't seen Moshe when he was young. They had seen Joshua when he was young, and they assumed that the difference is because, well, we saw Moshe when he was older, and so therefore Joshua is not at that level yet. But the elders understood that Moshe, even in his youth, when compared to Joshua, was so much greater and so much beyond what Joshua would ever be able to be, and so therefore, the phrase of the Talmud is placed in the mouth of the sages and not in the mouth of the youths.